Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Make Sense with Mentally, the show that places power in your hands and information for your mind. Let others leave small lines, but not you. Let others place their future in someone else's hands, but if you listen to the show, you'll make sure it's not you. We'll provide you with the keys, but it's up to you to unlock the door.
Welcome to Make Sense with Menelik. Today, we are providing you with none but keys, but we want to make sure you unlock the door today. Today, we're doing a show a little different, but it's a very special show for me. I have two important people with me. If you've heard me speak live or you come to one of my talks, you know I dropped out of high school at 16. And I felt abandoned by most people around me, but they were two individuals who always stayed with me that were my peers. It's very important to have great peers. And one will serve as my co-host today, the other will serve as our guest. But these individuals, I grew up calling them thermostats. And the reason for that is a thermostat, when you go into that room, the thermostat sets the temperature. If the room is warm, it can make it cool. If that room is cool, it can make it warm. It adjusts the temperature of the room to what it needs to be based on itself. And these individuals were that for me. They didn't look at me through the lens that everyone looked at. They didn't look at the world through the lens that everybody else looked at. They looked at things for how they were, and how they were was very much more beautiful than we believed them to be. So my co-host today is a great friend of mine, Jason Wright. I really don't have to say much about this guy except for, you know, when I was younger, I dropped out. He kept me motivated and positive. Although he didn't agree with what I did, he believed in who I was. So he kept, you know, he kept on me. Hey, man, you're better than this. You know, I see what you're doing, and let's do it this way. You know, it's good to have those positive influences around you when the world gives up on you. So without further ado, my man Jay, how you feeling, Jay?
I feel great. Thank you, Menelik, for that introduction. It's always nice to be around great friends and positive people. But today I want to welcome our great friend, Eric McCall. Eric is the executive director of Manifest Your Destiny Foundation, a youth mentoring organization founded by the actor Hill Harper. She's the author of her own book, Go For Yours. She's also the co-founder of her own foundation, Go For Yours. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Eric McCall.
Thank you. How's it going?
Going well.
If you guys hear a little noise, I'm actually outside because I had to stop. I was doing a little shopping today, so I'm outside at the farmer's market. So just so you know, in case you hear some noise.
Okay, cool. Go ahead and tell the listeners about yourself. Give them a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, just a little bit about me. I grew up with these two I'm talking with right now, Menelik and Jason, grew up in DeKalb, Illinois. And DeKalb has been, I think, very unique for all of us as far as being students of color. You know, we grew up in a small town where we weren't always on the path to success. We had great parents, but a lot of them sometimes maybe relied on the school system to help us academically. And I think with that being said, I kind of had to figure it out, you know, figure out which way I wanted to go. But it shaped me into who I am today. So that's a little bit about my background, just being from DeKalb, being from a small town, growing up as a shy girl, not really knowing what direction that I wanted to go. But God had a purpose. And right now it's crazy. I'm talking to you all right now. I am actually in Beverly Hills at the farmer's market. And just to go from, you know, a small town to living in a big city, I was in Chicago first. And then going from there to LA living in a big city, just following my dream. And that dream is to inspire others to follow their dreams. So
that's great. Well, tell us a little bit about this Go For Yours movement. And how you came up with the title, what you mean, before we go any further into the show.
Okay. Well, Go For Yours actually started out as a book of quotes. One year I was on the plane. It was New Year's 2010. I was coming from Atlanta, going back to Chicago, and I was just like, this year is going to be different. I was working at a university at the time, you know, had that ideal job with, you know, your own office. I had my master's degree, all that. But I still felt that there was something more for me. And I just remember being on the plane writing different quotes, because, you know, a lot of people at that time would write quotes like on Twitter or Facebook. Now they have, you know, memes on Instagram. And I was like, these quotes are nice, but I wonder if I can, like, find people who actually model these quotes. So Go For Yours actually began as just a quote, because my friend Anthony Peterson used to always say that, because I was very shy even in college. And he was like, Erica, you got to go for yours. So that's where the title came from, and then it just grew. I was, at first it was just going to be like a little coffee table, just book full of quotes and maybe some examples. I hadn't planned on interviewing anyone. And then I had picked up this magazine, it's a Black Enterprise magazine, and I was reading. There's two different stories at that time that caught my attention, and I was like, I want to interview those people. And one of those stories being, and I always talk about this story, Jerome Boykin, who lost everything in Hurricane Katrina and started his own parking lot cleaning business. And today he's a millionaire, and he did that at 23. So just reading different stories. And I think Jerome probably was like the first person that I talked to, that I interviewed when I was interviewing people for Go For Yours. And he was just very encouraging. We talk about this today, how he was like, yeah, I'm rooting for the underdog. I know you could do it. And at that time, I was like, I ain't no underdog, but now I see what he was saying. but that was one of the interviews that led me to just wanting to go out and interview people. And just the message is a book, but it's grown more, you know, the message is bigger than the book. You know, we've done, like, Go For Your concerts in Chicago. Different people using their curriculum, including Mr. Smith, who uses it in their Black Studies program. Like I said, did the foundation. We started the Go For Yours leadership program, and I started it at Julian High School a few years ago. I know you all know, and I remember, Jason, you met my cousin Trey, who was killed. Almost, it'll be 10 years ago in June, and he graduated from Julian, so wanted to go and, you know, encourage those students over there. And then it just grew. I'm very excited because in September we're planning a Go For Yours leadership conference and concert. So one thing that I do that I get to do while I'm with Hill, we travel to different places and we've done like different empowerment conferences. So someone put one on in St. Louis for us to come to. And then we did one in like Wisconsin. And of course we do stuff in L.A. and we do stuff in D.C. and Baltimore. And at these conferences, I'm like, these are really good. I would love to bring something to my hometown that I grew up in. So I've been working with some students at NIU to bring a Go For Yours leadership conference. So similar to the empowerment conferences that we're doing. So I've been reaching out to some DeKalb alums to be on the panel, reaching out to NIU alum, and then we're going to have a Go For Yours panel. So I'm very excited. And we could talk more about it. I'll give you guys more of the details offline. But it's going to be a full weekend. We're going to have concerts. So it's very exciting. But the whole point of it is to bring my Go For Yours program to DeKalb. And actually, I was just talking to Charlie Turner about this because, you know, he lives on the West Coast as well. And we're just talking about us not being prepared for college. You know, like our Black kids in DeKalb are not college bound. It's still the same from when we came up. So I would like to start a Go For Yours leadership program in DeKalb, starting with 7th and 8th graders, preparing them to be college bound. And not just that, but having like a parent education component and all of that, so parents know, you know, they're not just listening to the counselors, because the academic advisors, they kind of send us off a little bit. You know, but they know what their student needs. They have the resources to prepare them for the ACT or the SAT. But just really preparing them, because there's people, you know, who are from that small town and they're doing very well. So that's a little bit about what we're doing with Go For Yours.
Okay. Erica, I want to get into the academy a little bit more, but I want to go back a little bit.
Okay.
Now, you have your, you're working in higher ed, have your master's in higher ed. I understand that. Go for yours. But how does that work for somebody here on the college campus staff? They're in their career now, and they obviously are doing pretty good, well established, but they want to do more. And I feel like sometimes it keeps us, the fear keeps us from jumping out and doing that. How did you just jump out there and leave that university?
How did I jump out and leave the university?
Yeah, I mean,
I think for me is I don't think I was created to have a traditional 9-to-5 where it's like you 5 minutes late and they like at the door, you know, looking at the clock. I think that was part of it. I was just like, this is not for me. You know, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I won't say I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I always kind of wanted to create, like, what I wanted to do. I just didn't know what that looked like. But when I started seeing other people, you know, that I went to school with, I had a friend, like, John, actually, who he was helping run his godfather's business. It was like a newspaper distribution company. I love that he had his own business and he had his own schedule. And I kept meeting people like that. And I was like, man, that's something I want to do. And then, of course, you know, we live in, like, the reality show generation. I remember watching, like, Kimora Lee's, you know, Life in the Fab Lane, and they're outside having lunch but having a business meeting. And I'm like, okay, I'm going back and forth, digging my car out of the snow. You know, like, it was just, for me, I was just like, I want to be able to live life to the fullest. And when I started writing Go For Yours, I was actually still working, and I was in, and my plan was to just, you know, write the book and then see where it went, but I wasn't happy at my job, and then I was like, okay, I'm writing about all of these people who stepped out on faith, but I'm acting scared to step out on faith. And at that time, I was, you know, I had some money saved up, I was living in my grandmother's basement at the time. I was like, I don't want to be 30 something living in my granny's basement, you know, I'm a grown woman. So I thought about all of that, and I remember, like, just not being happy and going and telling my grandmother, like, I really want to quit. You know, I want to write this book. And she didn't understand it, but she supported me. So I think one of the things was just having the support from my family, even when they didn't understand that, but just seeing more and wanting to go after that. And at that time, I actually was – I hooked up with Malik Youssef, who is a – you know, he's a famous writer. He – writes for Kanye, and he actually was just on, did some writing on the Lemonade album. But at that time, I remember I was supposed to bring him to my school, to St. Xavier, to speak. And I remember, like, talking to him, like, you need some help on your team, because they didn't get back to me, like, fast enough. And I was like, yo, you need some help. So when I quit that job, actually I was working with him, like, as his assistant, if that's what you want to call it, and just saw, like, the kind of life that he was living. He was like, man, you know, in this business you're either a wolf or you're a dog. He's like, you know, a dog, they know when their food is coming. They know that it's scheduled, but a wolf goes out and hunts, you know, because they know that that's the only way they're going to eat, you know. And Malik can get, like, really, really deep sometimes where you feel like you went to church. But he was definitely at that time, like, one of my inspirations, you know, as far as just stepping out. If you were to ask him, he would probably tell you that he's the reason I wrote Go For Yours, but that was the idea way before I knew him. But just seeing different people like that were just making it happen and just living outside of the box.
Talk about the role your parents played in driving you to do Go For Yours and really supporting you.
Oh, they played a huge role. Well, I would like to start with my grandmother, actually. I know you said my parents, but I remember sharing a little bit of what I was writing with my mom and grandmother, and my grandmother prayed over what I had written. She was like, Lord, I don't know my grandma, you know, country from Mississippi, taking higher and higher and higher. And, you know, my mom supported me from the very, very beginning. and she still supports me. And my dad supported me. He didn't always get it because at that time I started running out of money, and he's having to pay my car note and pay my car off. And he's like, you know, what if your car gets taken? He didn't get it at first, but like I said, he supported it. So they played like a huge role in Go For Yours and in the process, but more so of like encouragement and just, I remember my mom would just be like, just finish the book. Just finish it. Because there's a time when you know, once you get at the end of the project, you're like, is this good enough? But they're just like, you know, just finish it. So they definitely played a huge role, and they still play a huge role because they're very supportive as far as the vision. And my mom, like, even now with me and my job now, she comes. I'll see her next week in D.C. because we're doing an event in D.C. and she makes sure that she comes. And my dad doesn't come, but, you know, he put money in her pocket to come. So they both play a very huge role in the success of Go For Yours.
So having that support system is huge.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely huge.
All right, let me ask you a question based on the philosophy of the book. The book, you said that people, they are myths to going for yours, or basically success. What are some of the myths that people have, or many people envision when they go for yours or go for, and how do we overcome those myths?
You said what are the risks?
Myths. Yes.
I think one myth that a lot of people have that are talented is all I got to do is meet somebody. You know, people in music, like, oh, if I meet Diddy and I give him my mixtape, I could be on. I think that a lot of people are very naive to the process because when you see people in the limelight, it looks like it was an overnight success, but it really wasn't. Like, just even being in L.A., these people are grinding. Like, people are like, oh, I want to be an actor. They make it look easy, probably because they're acting, but, I mean, they're grinding. Some of them are struggling. You know, so I think that is one myth that's just like, oh, I need one person to get on. Or another myth is like, you know, I can't do this because I don't have the money or, you know, whatever. A lot of people don't follow what they're destined to do because they're afraid, you know, about the money. And, you know, that eventually comes, and, yeah, you do take those risks, but I think that is definitely like another myth. And I also think just the idea of success, because I can even tell you that, like, my definition of success has changed from when I first wrote the book. You know, people think success is all about money,
right,
you know, and but wealth is more so like your health, it's your family, you know. And especially, like, when you're following your dreams, because I take risk every single day. But knowing that, like, I have family and friends who love me, that's what lifts me up. Like, oh, well, if this fails, I can still go home. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be all good. So I think that, you know, that's a myth of thinking that happiness and success is money and being a millionaire.
Right. Yeah, money isn't. Dr. Dennis Kimbrough has 10 forms of wealth, and money is only number three. I think the number one form of wealth. Knowledge. You know, he has this thing, I spoke days ago, he has this saying, said, Menelik, wealth begins in the mind and ends in the pocketbook. Whoever can get that. And a lot of the times, it's about getting approval from others. When we talk about success or any of those things, it's actually something that comes from the inside and works its way out.
Yeah.
It's not in. Most of us want to look good, but we ain't good, you know?
Right.
If we could talk about the Leadership Academy you do at Julian High School, you did more details. What's the target population, and what exactly you trying to get across with the Leadership Academy?
Okay, well, what we did was it was a, I believe, 8-week program for, at that time it was 10th graders. So we were just going through the Go For Yours books and basically talking about success. That program was very grassroots. It was like I was making them tacos, bringing them food, and we sit down at lunch and just talk, and then just paired them with mentors. So a few of the students I still keep in touch with, but the whole idea was just giving them examples of, you know, what success was, and also honing on honing in on their talent. So the kids that we were working with, too, they were either in that program because they had that poor behavior, poor attendance in school, or really bad grades. So it was good to see, like, some of those students flourish. I know one student that I was working with, and when I moved, Rashida, y'all know Rashida, she went to NIU, but she started mentoring her, you know, after I left, and now she's in college at University of Illinois in Springfield, and just showing them, like, different things, you know, not just in the classroom, but outside of the classroom, taking them, and, you know, one of the students, I was like, well, let's go, you know, eat, you know, hibachi at the hibachi grill where they're eating food, you know, or they're cooking the food right in front of you. Just different experiences just so that they can look for other things. So that's basically what that program was in a nutshell, just creating different leadership qualities within them. And then after that program, I actually got hired on before I moved out here to be leader, like a mentor advocate working with more of those students who were at risk.
Okay. And talk about your move to L.A. How did that transition go? How hard was it? What did you have going out there? What did you know? What didn't you know? Because I know we've talked, that was a tough transition.
It was a very interesting transition. I always liked L.A., and I always thought, I was like, oh, this would be a nice place to live. I never imagined myself actually living here. I didn't know how I was going to get here. So before I moved, I was actually volunteering with the foundation 2 years in a row. So I think one of the challenges was just coming in and finding a voice within the foundation, you know, because they had been established for quite a few years at the time. And when I came, I was brought on by the executive director, Akello Stone. 6 weeks later, he quit. So I was, like, kind of by myself figuring it out. But it all worked out in the end. So that transition was, like, super crazy, but it wasn't too crazy because I still, like, I came out and I knew people, and I'm a people person anyway. So I still had support out here. So it wasn't too crazy, and even the executive director that quit, he's like, if you need anything, I'm still here. But it was just a different transition, a way different beast than, you know, coming from a small town and even in Chicago, you know, because we have Hollywood attached to L.A., you know, so just meeting people, and a lot of people say, oh, you don't get real people in L.A., but you do. I always say if you're, like, authentic, you'll meet those people, but it was a beast at first. It's just kind of like, okay, this is, I felt like I was pledging all over again at one point.
Okay. So with moving to LA, you kind of were reading the book, so to speak, and going through yours.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, most people want to be comfortable. What is it about getting out of your comfort zone that helped you to be successful? Because you have to get out of your comfort. Become who you are now, from what you were before,
right.
You know?
Right, absolutely. I think getting out of your comfort zone actually shapes you. It's like the scripture, and I remember talking to one of my pastors from my church out here when I was really going through, and she shared, I can't remember the exact scripture, I know it's from James, but it says, you know, basically you'll be happy when you go through trials and tribulations because they're shaping you for who you are. So I was going through so much. I would say probably this time last year was just going through a lot, but I didn't realize that I was being prepared for what was in store for me, you know, because I grew up shy. I'm a naturally sensitive person, but I was definitely being, like, prepared for how to handle certain things, how to work under pressure, how to deal with different personalities. So there's definitely, like, you never want success too quick, because if you get it too quick, you don't know what to do with it. You know, that's why people, you know, they become millionaires. People who win the lottery, they become broke, like, a few years later because they weren't built and shaped in the way that they, and molded in the way that they needed to be for whatever was for them. So I definitely feel like this period has molded and shaped me. for what's in store for me. But not just that, it's allowed me to, like, really understand what Erica's made of, you know, like, and really understand who I am and be confident in that. And I would also say, like, another adjustment was, like, when you do grind and you're going for yours and, you know, you're cutting corners and you're doing this, sometimes you forget, like, wait, it's not all the way like that anymore, you know. Like, I don't have to, you know, struggle as much. I don't have to sneak in this event. I could just go to the, you know. So just getting rid of some of those habits that you had, you know, when you were on the grind.
So for the individuals that are in the position now that you were in last year, and they want to, you know, go for what they see, you know, maybe they want to open up a daycare, you know, maybe they want to be an actor, you know, and right now they're going mm-hmm. through it. Thinking about turning back. What was it about what you were going through that kept you from turning back?
It was my vision. One, it was my vision of what I wanted to do. And then, two, I knew for me, I'm spiritual, you know, so I was like, okay, God brought me here. Like, I didn't apply for my job. I didn't apply to come out to LA, but I'm here, so I'm here for a reason. And until my assignment is over, I can't quit. And I think for me, because I already had people, like, even though for me, I was like, man, this is a hard time. It wasn't like it was a depressing time. It was just like a challenging time. I had work to do. It wasn't easy. But it was like, I can't stop. There's people who are counting on me. Like, I wrote this book called Go For Yours, and for me to quit, like, no. So I think just finding purpose, like, when you have purpose and a vision, you can't, you won't be able to stop. You can't stop. You know, you'll have your days, and it's okay to have a day where it's like, okay, I'm not feeling today, and that's okay, but you can't allow that to stop you. You have to get back up, and I remember my friend Justin was like, you know what, just take it one day at a time, you know, do your best today, go home, get some rest, and wake back up and start all over tomorrow. And that's basically what I would do, is just, okay, I got to keep going. Because I knew that there was a vision, there's a reason for me to be, you know, where I'm at. And obviously there was, because today, you know, and we'll talk about it too, like Erica went from volunteer to executive director, and now I'm actually in the position that, you know, I need to be in to not just further my vision, but further Hill's and, you know, further our vision that we have for the young people.
Interesting, because in your book, you interviewed Gary Wilson, and you have this conversation with him, and he talked about, and you talked about, how hard work doesn't always equal success.
Mm-hmm. You
know, what's the lesson?
Yeah.
Well, look, if I'm not going to be successful, why should I work hard? Why should we continue to work hard, although we may not get the results mm-hmm. we necessarily want at that moment?
Well, I think, one, it shapes you, but sometimes I'm not about working hard. I think it's more about working smart. You know, once you have a vision, it's about, okay, what's the vision? What do I need to do to get there? And that's where you have your logistics, you know. And sometimes that can be hard for people who are, like, creative and artsy. But it's really working smart. Like, people will say, how do you have all this time to do this? But it's really, like, working smart and knowing how to manage my task and knowing how to prioritize, you know. So if you're working on a project, you may not be able to do anything but that project, you know. So when I was writing the book, sometimes I get sidetracked on other things because I was like, this isn't going fast enough, but I would always be led back to Go For Yours. So I think just working smart and knowing how to prioritize and what you should be doing in the season that you're in, it really helps. Like you said, sometimes hard work doesn't get you. You could practice a dance all day and still not make the pom-pom squad or team, whatever, like me. Or you could, you know, be, what is it, you know, football season, what is it, spring training, or I don't know if that's football or baseball. Y'all know I'm not sports. But you can work as hard as you can and still not be in that position. But I think just getting a lesson from it and knowing that if it doesn't work, every closed door, you know, is an opportunity for something else. It's redirection. You know, I worked hard, and I remember when I quit and I had finished the book, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go back and get a job. And I could not get a job to save my life. Like, I would have really good interviews, And it was just like, oh, you're very qualified. We liked you, but we went with someone else. And I couldn't understand why. But now I'm like, thank you, God, for closing those doors. Because I wouldn't be here right now if the doors would have opened. And I think just knowing that everything has a purpose and you can do your best and try your best. And just, I'm always like, let God do the rest, you know?
In the book, out of all the interviews you've done and all the people you've talked to, I mean, you talked to so many different people. What one person or story would you say is your favorite out of all of them?
I would say Jerome's, as I always share. And I would say it's my favorite story because just because of what he went through. You know, the whole Hurricane Katrina and starting something that no one would ever think of. Because when we think of success, like some of those stereotypes, especially for black males, oh, I need to be an athlete, I need to rap, or I need to sell drugs. You know, and even working with young black males, man, I need to get on this track, you know. And it's even men my age and older still pursuing, like, rap dreams. You know what I mean? Like, so just to meet somebody that is like, oh, you know, he's my age and he's doing his thing. And not only that, you know, he doesn't allow the money to define him. You know, like if I called him, he would be at work right now because it's that important. So I really like his story and enjoy his story. And I think because we've developed a friendship over the time where it's just like, wow, this is somebody who is very inspirational, and you guys should probably have him be on the show as well. I'm planning on bringing him to the leadership conference. He doesn't really like to talk in front of crowds, but we're going to make him anyway. But just somebody that I can see, like, firsthand, like, okay, he's successful, but it doesn't define who he is. Like, he's still the same person. He's just like, hey, this is just what I'm doing. So I would definitely say he is one of those people, but there's also some other amazing people. You know, a young lady, Kimberly Anyadiki, who, you know, young African-American female pilot who flew cross-country at the age of 16. You know, stories we don't hear about. And I'm very excited because one of my friends here, she's a pilot, and I would like to bring her to the Go For Yours conference to talk about just her travel experience. She flies planes, you know. So those are stories that really, really inspire me because they're different, and it's like, wow, I would have never thought this. So those are just a few, but all of them are pretty inspirational in some kind of way.
How important is it, you know, to surround yourself with certain people? When we see individuals that, especially in the college campus or in the city, say, well, look, this is my guy. I can't give him up. My family member. I can't stop. But how does that gravitational pull affect, you know, you as a person and where you go in life? Is that a big thing based on what you've seen and the people you've come in contact with?
Oh, it's huge. It's a huge thing. You know, because one thing I was just talking to my friend today, like when you kind of live outside the box and everybody doesn't see that, you know, that could be hard to have people who support you. But having, like-minded individuals around you is very, very important. You know, it's one thing that encourages me because when I first stepped out, I wasn't meeting those people. You know, I remember I met, and when I started writing Go For Yours, I met an author on the plane. But after that, I would meet people, you know, who were kind of following their dreams and doing what they wanted to do. But it's very important because, one, it's encouraging, but, two, it shows you, like, hey, if they did it, I could do it too. You know, like, why wouldn't God do that for me? So just seeing different people, and it's always exciting just to be here in L.A. because all these jobs that I always say, oh, that, you know, that seems so cool. Just people, they're just living out what some of them probably didn't even dream that they would be doing it, but they're living out what they want to do. So it's very important. Here in L.A., I have a nice group of friends, like a nice hub where, you know, we support each other. A few weeks ago, I actually did this. I'm starting like a group. I'm testing it with the females first, but just had a group of just young black women, just powerful women, get together in one room to talk about how we could support each other and moving our agendas forward. You know, like, okay, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, you know, who can I link up with to further what I'm doing? Or, you know, there's somebody in there who, you know, she's an actress or comedian, like, who can I introduce her to? You know, I have friends who are directors, or I know people who like fun films. Like, we need to all just get in this room and just get it, you know, because there's enough to go around. So just, you know, having that, I think, is very, very important when you are following your dreams, because sometimes it gets hard. You know, I may have that phone call like, yo, I need your help. My car's booted. I've been there. You know what I mean? So sometimes, like, you definitely need that support because it's not easy.
Let's talk about your role as executive director of Manifest Your Destiny and what you guys are doing right now and who you're targeting.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're doing it now in L.A., but it's expanding. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, Manifest Your Destiny was founded, like I said, by Hill Harper, and it was started after he wrote his first book, Letters to a Young Brother, which eventually became a bestseller. So the main component of our program is the Summer Empowerment Academy, where we work with young people going into the ninth grade, and we are providing them with resources that can help them be successful from high school and beyond. So they're attending workshops focusing on academic strategies, critical thinking, and very excited for this year because this year is the 10-year anniversary of Letters to a Young Brother. And we're going to do an all-boys camp. So it's called the Young Brother Edition, where we're going. The goal is to get 50 males in D.C. and then another 50 males in Baltimore and do a Summer Empowerment Academy, because normally it's males and females, but there's things that young men and women too. But this year, since we're celebrating the book, we're going to focus on young men. But there's things that, you know, only young men, sometimes they just need to get together on their own and learn some things. So bringing in other male mentors and even female mentors. So I'm very, very excited. I love the role because it allows me to be creative. You know, like, he was always on the go, so he didn't even realize that it had been 10 years since the book came out. So I'm like, hey, Hill, did you know it's been 10 years? You know, I want to, you know, do an all-male camp. And he's like, okay. So I think that's one thing, and that's why we work well together, because we're both creative. He's creative sometimes where it's kind of like real artsy, and it's like I'm creative but can also put together all of the logistics or find the right people. So very excited about that. And actually next Saturday we have an event coming up. It's called Dancing with NYD, and this was actually my first big event that I did with the foundation that I thought was going to make me quit. But it's basically where people are dancing, kind of similar to Dancing with the Stars. It'll be like a show, but it's like different stars from D.C. and Baltimore that will dance and help raise money for the foundation. So very excited. We have two of the Braxton sisters, Tawanda and Tracy, dancing. We have a couple of the ladies. There's a new Real Housewives. I know y'all probably don't watch reality show, but one of the new Housewives. And then we have Dante Stallworth, who was a retired NFL player. So those are some of the people who will be coming together, and they're dancing. And it's just very excited. It's very exciting for me to be able to see, like, my vision grow. It's like, Hill wanted to do this, but you know, left it in my hands to just get it done, and now it's growing. You know, just got off the phone with Bravo TV because they want to record the entire event, and they want to cover it on their show, and then WE TV wants to cover it on the Braxton show. So just seeing, like, some amazing things happen with our vision. So I think that's one great thing that I love, you know, being the executive director. And it also allows me to, even though it's Manifest Your Destiny, you know, it allows me to also talk about Go For Yours, and we have Go For Yours as part of the curriculum now, and putting both of those brands together. So it's very exciting because it's not like one of those jobs where I'm doing my work and then I'm whispering to somebody like, hey, you know, just so you know, I got a book on the side. You know, it's like, I'm able to do both at the same time. So it's been amazing.
Well, let's chop that up a little bit. You know, black males in America, in the hood, or wherever we are, a big subject right now. It's a big issue, you know, if it's with the police, it's the way we portray ourselves or the way we are portrayed in the media. See, that is hampering black males, and then we get to something, you know, to the, a stereotype that doesn't necessarily
say that
fit.
One more time. You broke up a little bit. What is the what?
What's something that you're seeing in working with these organizations and these and the youth that's hampering black males? It's keeping black males back. Is it our vision? You know, the things we're around.
I don't think, and since I'm not a black male, you know, I can't speak on behalf of black males. But I don't think that there's like one thing. I think it's a multitude of things. One, I think it's environment. You know, a lot of these kids are inner city youth. You know, personally working with young black males, you know, I've had kids tell me, you know, I'm not going to see it past 19, or I'm not scared to die because if I do, you know, my homeboys, they're going to wear my shirt or my face on the T-shirt. You know, so I think a lot of it is just the mentality and the lifestyle. They're not being exposed to other things. Another one is like all of us are very fortunate to have had our fathers in our lives. You know, that's a huge thing. So most of the kids who are involved in violence, where's their father? They're either being raised by their mom or grandparents, but their father isn't present. So I think that's one thing, but there's definitely like a multitude of things. And then even like, you know, with the violence going on, sometimes it's just that innocent kid who unfortunately comes across someone who has a stereotype about who they are. So they decide, you know, I'm going to take their life. But I think there's not just, you know, one thing. There's so many factors. And I think our job is to come together. You know, we can't do it. You know, I work with Manifest Your Destiny, but we can't just do it as an organization. It's finding other groups that we can work with so we can, you know, move forward. Because one thing I have learned working with young people that if we can get them on the right track, they're going to be beasts. Because a lot of these kids I work with, they have street smarts, which is one of the most important things that you need in life. You know, they have a lot of common sense. So if you can mix that and you can help them, you know, acquire some type of skill set or something, you know, they're going to be unstoppable. And I think that's the reason that there's so many negative images for black males and black women too, because it's like once we really realize our worth, we're unstoppable, you know?
It's 100% true. I mean, in working with youth, when I was a youth, when we were young, there is a difference faced. I mean, your dad was around, Jason's father, and they had an impact on me. You know, to the point that, you know, when I see you today, I try to be that for them, a young man, a young woman.
Yeah.
You know, just having that presence of somebody around you, you know, they pull greater out of you, you know. And if you don't have that, you're willing to do whatever you see, not knowing the consequences.
Right.
Before you're 17
right.
or 18, you've ruined your life. You know what I mean? But we do it the effort, you know, on us all.
Yeah.
I really love the idea you guys dedicating the.
That's still trying to call me now. Go ahead.
I really appreciate the idea you guys doing the academy this year for all black males. You know, I need for you guys doing it in Baltimore and D.C. Is there any future plans of, you know, bringing it here to Chicago?
Yes, God willing, we will be in Chicago. Detroit, Atlanta. So we're working on basically creating a replication model where, like, if somebody wants to bring the program and the curriculum to their community, they can. So that's the main goal right now. So one of our board members is actually helping us bring the program in Baltimore, and I'm working with another board member to bring it to D.C. And we we brought like a little cap, like a capture of the event last year to D.C., but we definitely want to bring it, but it's just raising more awareness. And as much as we want to help as many people as we can, it costs money, you know, so just, you know, finding grants and, you know, hopefully this fundraiser will help us get through the year and set the tone for the future. But we really, really do want to replicate it in other cities, and especially as Hill, he does a lot of speaking. So when he goes out and he speaks to different organizations, you know, they're like, hey, we want, you know, we get emails all the time. Hill just sent us, or Hill just spoke at my school or spoke in my community, and he talks about the foundation. How can we bring it? So just figuring that out, how to make it happen. But Chicago, I definitely want it to be the next stop.
Definitely. We want to hear.
Yeah.
So as a youth freshman in high school, how do I get involved in the camp if I'm in the Baltimore, D.C. area?
Go to our website. We don't have applications up yet, so the applications will probably be up by the end of May, but you can visit our website. Parents can just send an email to info@myDF.org, like Manifest Your Destiny Foundation, abbreviated, .org, and send us an email and let us know, and we'll get you set up.
Okay. What about volunteers? If I want to volunteer my time as a mentor, or somebody out there wants to volunteer their time as a mentor, is there a process? How do they go about doing that?
The same. Just send us an email, and we have mentor and volunteer applications that we have to update them. But you can go on the website as well, or send an email to info@myDF.org. And the website is www.myDF.org.
Okay. Great. Now, outside of the Summer of Power Academy, what are some other things are you doing with Manifest Your Destiny from a community standpoint, various field trips, things like that? Are you guys doing anything else with the kids?
Well, after the Summer Empowerment Academy, we do a week, or not a week, we do monthly Saturday sessions. So we do, like, workshops. In the past, like, in L.A., we've done, like, beach cleanup, horseback riding, we've done movie screenings, we've done cooking classes. So we basically expand on what the kids are taught during the week, or what the students are taught during the week, and we have programming during the year.
Okay, so it sounds like you guys are exposing the kids to a lot of different backgrounds and things like that, so they, you know, can experience and get adapt to it.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Excellent. So you're bringing the Go For Yours campaign to Northern Illinois University, right?
I wouldn't say to NIU, but want to bring it to DeKalb, and that's something I definitely want you all support in. So we're hoping that this event, this weekend in September, it's going to be September 9th and 10th, we are hoping that that will raise awareness and money. And I don't think it'll take a whole lot of money to actually execute it, but just to get people involved and see, you know, how we're going to execute it. So that's something that I'll definitely be talking to you all about offline too, because we got to round the troops for support.
So for the leadership conference, because we want to hear in DeKalb, how does one donate volunteer time? How do we do that?
I'll visit goforyours.com. We have a GoFundMe page right now, but I haven't announced anything yet because we're lining up our speakers and we're looking for a performer. But we're going to do a GoFundMe page.
Okay.
They'll be linked to goforyours.com. So I'll be sending out all of that information. Also, part of the weekend, we want to do a kickoff. So, Missy or Middleek, you'll definitely like to hear this. And I haven't even shared this with Monique yet, but I've been in talks with the Egyptian Theater about reserving it Friday night to do a talent show, like how we did our back in the day talent shows, where the kids in the community can come out and showcase their talent. So I'm very excited about that. So we might need Unique to perform for old time's sake. But that'll be the kickoff for the entire weekend, just to get the community involved and get them excited and really understand. Because it's, you know, we do have educational workshops, so we want the kids to have fun. We want them to be engaged and really just be encouraged. So hoping to bring some people. I have some of my friends who live here who want to be involved. That Saturday we'll do workshops. And also I'm going to talk to two friends who are actors about coming in and doing like an actor's workshop. So one for maybe for the either young kids or the older kids. I don't know how we'll do that yet, but it's a lot of fun stuff that we do out here with the kids here because they're kind of spoiled because they get access to everything. Bringing some of that to DeKalb. So I'm very excited about that. And my friends are excited. I'm hoping to, I don't want to like name drop anybody yet because it's all about schedules and what our budget's going to be. But we do have like some hosts on board who are like comedians and some are actors and things like that. But hoping to get like a familiar face in the room for the young people. So working on that, but it's going to be very, very exciting. So we'll definitely need support. I'm probably, because we're raising money, so I'm going to be asking people to, you know, pledge or whatever, and I'll be pledging money and putting money up myself, but just getting the support from the entire community and bringing some of those people back and sharing what they're doing. So very excited about that weekend.
Definitely. We're looking forward to it. We definitely going to make it happen. So, you know, we'll talk offline about what we got to do. But we got a little bit of time, and we'd like to take a few calls if you don't mind.
Okay.
All right. Caller, go ahead and state your name and go ahead with your question for Erica.
Was that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Hello.
Yes, Erica. This is, they call me Brother Henry. Smooth brother.
Hey, Brother Henry. Who used to give me Sour Patch Kids. My locker neighbor.
I didn't really have
Henry
no
was going for his first. He was selling candy out the locker, out his locker.
Listen, the hustle is real. You got to do what you got to do to get what you got to get. So the hustle is always real. Just wanted to say that I'm enjoying the show and proud of the movement that's happening and keep going for yours. And
thank
you. I'll be online for a little bit. But I'm enjoying the show, really. It's a great show. It's always good to be able to come back and reflect and have a little high school reunion and see you. See
I
your
know.
People doing good.
I know.
So, keep up the good work. And
well, thank you.
I'm going for mine as well.
Okay. You go for yours.
All right, Henry, thank you for calling in. Erica, to wrap it up.
Yes.
Is there anything out there the listeners need to know about going for theirs right now, without even reading the book, that can set them on the right path?
Is there anything that I want them to know?
Yeah, anything that you can just tell them.
As far as going for theirs or as far as the book?
As far as going for this.
Just that one piece of advice you can give to the audience.
That one piece. Okay, that one piece of advice. I'm sorry, it's getting loud back here. I would say, as corny as it sounds, if there's an idea that you have, just do it. Just don't wait. You know, sometimes we talk ourselves out of things before we even begin. So I would say, like, if you have an idea and there's a passion inside of you, don't sit on that passion. Because it's there for a reason. And the reason isn't even about you. It's, like, beyond you. So that's one thing that I definitely want to leave you with.
Okay. Well, I mean, we appreciate it. I think you was a great guest today. I'll never forget that time you called me and told me I'm writing a book. Or the time you called me and told me quitting my job. Or when you told me I'm going to L.A. I mean, that's a lot of faith. That's just really showing, you know, you're motivated, you're going for yours, and
thank you.
You're living what you wrote. So we really appreciate it. We thank you for sharing. So thank you.
And also, I forgot to tell you, I'm receiving an award on Friday, from the Los Angeles Urban League. So it's called To the Nines, where it's nine people under 40 that they honor at this event. So and Lil Rel, I'm sure y'all heard of Lil Rel. he's one of the recipients as well. So we are very excited that we out here. You know, he's from Chicago, so I know him from home. So very excited that we out here following our dreams, and we don't do it to be recognized, but we're excited to share that information.
Definitely, definitely proud of you. We appreciate it.
How could they get in contact with you? How can people get in contact?
You can email me. Actually, the info that I just gave you, that email, because I don't want to get people confused, but you could just email the foundation info at myds.org.
Okay. Okay. And your website?
GoForYours.com.
Right.
And then I'm also, you know, my social media is Erica with a K, Erica R. McCall.
All right. All right. Erica, thank you very much.
Thank you. This was great.
Yeah, it was. Thank you for sharing that information. Thank you for the book. And thank you for what you do in the community and using your services, your skills, your talents to uplift others. We really appreciate that. Next week, actually Thursday, we have another show this week, Thursday. We'll be speaking with Toastmasters International representatives. They're going to be speaking to us about how to develop your speaking ability to bring yourself into a greater harmony in a public arena. Before we go, we also want to mention that we will have an attorney coming on next Thursday to speak about, she was in Ferguson, she was in Baltimore, she dealt with the situations in New York with Eric Gardner. And she just wants to tell you your rights as far as dealing with law enforcement and in the court system and how to navigate through it and why you need to make yourself a part of the process. You want to close with anything, Jay?
No, I really appreciate Erica's time. I mean, keep doing what you're doing. We got one more call on the line.
We do.
Let's take Erica, you available for one last question?
Excellent.
Okay. Caller. I know who this caller is. Cedric.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing at all. You know, I just called in because I want to say congratulations. You're doing.
Thank
keep up
you.
The good work. You know,
thank
I'm listening to the show, and you know, it's just a good thing. I hear all y'all on the radio and everything. I'm like, man, we came a long way, didn't we?
We came a long way.
You know, and I was just, you know, I was listening in. I definitely want to be a part of the, when you bring it to DeKalb, you know.
Yeah.
I can't
definitely
wait.
Definitely.
You know,
I'm excited. I'm very
you know,
excited.
You know, being from DeKalb and everything, bringing it back. Hey, I'm Millie Wop on any block, you know. In DeKalb, you know,
yeah.
So I'm ready. So, you know, just
yay.
Let me know what I have to do. Hit me up and I'm in.
I sure will, and I was just Charlie was actually out here last week, and I was like, I want this to be a reunion because we were just sitting there reminiscing. He's talking about when y'all go play basketball in Rockford, and then telling the story how y'all went to Chicago and got y'all butts.
Oh, those were the days.
And I said, I was like, you know, those were the days. I said, I want us to just be able to get together, all of us again. So that's what I'm hoping this will
do as well.
So.
And that talent show thing, hey, I'm on board for that, too. I got to do
I remember
all.
Y'all when we did Jodeci. Yeah. What did we do? It was me, Cedric, Mitzi, and Monique. What?
Oh, that's we did that Boyz II Men song.
We did that Boyz II Men song.
Yeah. We were doing big
things
back
then. So I'm going to need
y'all
to get on stage and do a performance again.
Yes. No, wait, hold on. I'm just agreeing to stuff? No.
Yeah,
no, I don't
you
know about that one. Everything else I'm good, but performance,
no performance.
We haven't talked about that.
No, we'll have the kids do it.
Okay.
All right.
Alrighty.
All right.
Well, I will
talk
to you all later.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right.
Thank you for tuning in. We're going to go ahead and close out.